was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night rolls in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. In the distance, sabers rattle, and the armies train for battle as the beast prepares his mark. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to any song he sings. As the night rolls in on the rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. It's time for every righteous man to step up tall, take a stand. There is so little time. For if we fear and hesitate, soon it will be too late. We're the last hope of mankind. Time hurries on, the shadows fall, the hand is writing on the wall. But even now, there's still a chance. For if the ones called by God's name repent of sin and seek his face, he will hear and heal the land. There's an unseen hand reaching from above, and a gentle voice that beckons to the shelter of his love. Come on home, my wayward child, 'cause out on the horizon there's a pale horse running wild. A fairy cub, my wayward child, can't you hear the thunder and hoofbeats of a pale horse running?
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, now's coming time that we all have to stand with those who are willing to stand with us. I have some good news for you tonight. All in the Nevada trials have been released to their families. to stand on their own 2 feet for the rest of these trials. Tonight, we're going to thank many of the constitutional sheriffs who have taken a stand for us. These men and women, there's a lot of them who don't know any better. They've gone the corporate way. But there's a lot of them who have. They've risked all. They've lost their jobs. They've been politically attacked. They've had their pensions threatened, their livelihoods threatened, and many of them have risked it all, giving themselves of their lives, their sacred honor, putting it all on the line for us. I want to share with you tonight some evidence of these great people. Victory over oppression.
Conflicts with the BLM and conflicts with the U.S. Forest Service, up until even to this day, we're in 2000.
Sheriff DeMeo.
Sadly, in 2006, Wayne Hates succumbed to natural causes and he died. Shortly after his death, though, I got a phone call from a representative, the special agent in charge of the Nevada office for the U.S. Forestry Service. And at that time, the SAC informed me that she has come to a resolution how we can manage and take care of Wayne Hage's problems with the cattle and the seizure and the federal managed lands, which it's public lands. It's not really, they're not owned by the federal government. They're actually public lands, which are owned by the people. The federal government under the BLM, which is the Bureau of Land Management, which was formed in 1946, from the combination of the grazing office and the general land office, formed this management office. The federal government doesn't own the lands. They're actually within the state of Nevada. The state of Nevada, as I understand, hasn't given those lands to the federal government. They're within the state of Nevada, and I believe the state of Nevada actually has sovereignty on those lands. That's my belief, and what's what I believe as far as the state's rights issues and the 10th Amendment. So when my conversation was with Ms. Matthews, the SAC, where I was informed that she was in the process of actually getting ready to do a cattle seizure or attempt to do a cattle seizure on behalf of the U.S. Forestry Service, I asked her I told her, I said, listen, Wayne Hage isn't cold in the ground yet. He died a little more than a month ago. And this meeting happened in the middle of July. And I asked her why she was in the process of actually considering this option. And especially when I told her that the case is in the U.S. Claims Court and the judge is overseeing this, and I believe that the federal government should actually hold off any type of a cattle seizure, any kind of a seizure at all, until this case is settled in a proper venue, which is the court. And at that time, she said that she had some great ideas and that she would be willing to meet with me. I had a meeting with her a couple weeks later in the office here in Pahrump, Nevada, and attending that meeting was the area commander, this Southern Area Command, Captain Bill Beck, which at that time, we explained to her what the Constitution stood for and why we weren't going to allow them to do a cattle seizure without intervention from the County Sheriff's Office. I informed her that we have a responsibility to protect the constitutional rights of our citizens. I expect my deputies to protect the constitutional rights of our citizens, and I expect that the federal government also, which is responsible for the Constitution, falling under the law of the land, should also respect the Constitution as well. And when during the conversation, I asked Ms. Matthews, who did she work for? And she said, she works for the U.S. Forestry Service. I said, no, who's the authority that you derive your authority from? And at that time, she said, the U.S. Congress. And then I informed her that that's not the right answer, that in law enforcement and in government, we govern by the consent of the people that we govern. My badge doesn't give me authority to govern as a sheriff. I get the authority to govern by the people who put me in office. In every policing agency, we understand that the power that we have, authority that we have, emanates from the people who we serve. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from the people we serve. our forefathers were very clear in plain language to state that in our Declaration of Independence and plus our Constitution, and laying out the amendments to the Bill of Rights that followed that follows the Constitution and in the Articles of the Constitution, that I informed Ms. Daniel that there be no unlawful incursions onto Pine Creek Ranch, and that if she had any issues with the land owner and the person responsible for the allotments, Mr. Wayne Hage, that she can that the Hage estate now, she can contact me and be more than happy to to assist. The meeting was ended.
While we wait for him to cue number one, so that you understand, the federal government was trying to get this man's land after he died from his estate. Not a month, he wasn't even in the ground. I want you to understand the depth of that. And this sheriff is still fighting for this man and his estate. His name is Sheriff DeMeo. He came out from New Jersey. Ready on that clip too, Mike?
In the late 1990s, the BLM did a seizure of cattle from the Hage Ranch, along with the Colvin Ranch, which is in Esmeralda County. And at that time, the sheriff, my predecessor, left Nevada, went on a fishing trip. And during that time, the seizure took place. At that time, they took cattle from Wayne Hage's estate, from the Wayne Hage Ranch, and the person left in charge, and I can't share so in that area, didn't have the authority, he stated, to stop the seizure. The quote was, he didn't want to go to Club Fed. When I came into office in 2003, a couple of months after I came into office, and I expected BLM, and based upon the history that I was aware of, to start, to initiate some type of an action against Wayne Hage, Wayne Hage's ranch. And at that time, I empowered my area commander, Assistant Sheriff Joanna Cody, and all the people in the Northern Area Command to stop any type of illegal cattle seizure from whatever entity, governmental entity it was, whether it be from the state government, which we didn't believe was going to be a problem, but the federal government, whether it be BLM, U.S. Forestry Service. And at that time, a couple months into my administration, I get a phone call from my lieutenant advising me that they were in the process of conducting an illegal seizure and illegal action against Wayne Hage, which I told him informed them that they would carry out my orders and making sure that no illegal action took place against a constituent or citizens of Knight County, and that any unlawful action from the federal government would result in an arrest by the people that are there. And at that time, I was informed that they were in contact with a U.S. attorney, and that the U.S. attorney was advising them that advising my the members of the Knight County Sheriff's and my lieutenant that if I didn't allow them to take these actions against Wayne Hage, that they were going to have a warrant for my arrest, which I said, well, give my address and I'll be waiting for them. They can contact Las Vegas office, which is the closest one. We're only 45 miles from Las Vegas, and they can come to my residence and they can conduct whatever action they thought was appropriate, even though I stood on legal ground according to the Constitution. One of the interesting issues that came to me, or one of the interesting comments came to me, was from one of my people who was up in the Northern Area Command, which informed me that the federal government was interested in seizing cattle, and they use any means necessary, including armed federal agents, which I informed my deputy. To notify that member of that federal agency that if they brought any armed federal agents to Knight County to conduct an illegal search and seizure, that they would be faced with the Knight County Sheriff's Office SWAT team as well, and then we'd be standing between them and my constituent, and to advise them that nothing was going to take place, and if they conduct any kind of illegal action, that they would be placed under arrest. And that goes across the board. You know, we placed members of my office under arrest. I didn't see any reason for us not to be able to arrest a member of a federal authority if they're conducting an illegal search and illegal seizure. And that action didn't take place. Apparently, I didn't know if they were posturing. Deputy didn't know if they were posturing as well. But shortly thereafter, we didn't have any more issues with BLM.
Thank you.
I explained to him what the Constitution was. I explained to him my position as the sheriff of Nye County. I explained to him the position that we're taking as law enforcement authority and protector of life and property for our constituents in Nye County. And I explained to him what the Constitution was. I explained to him the errors that they have committed. These seizures that were taking place were not court ordered. They weren't ordered by a judge. What it was a signature by Representative BLM stating that that BLM Rangers are going to seize these cattle with whoever they contracted to take the cattle into custody and then take them off the property, which they did several times in Nye County, and sell them outside of not only the Fourth Amendment unlawful seizure, but also the Fifth Amendment of due process. And also, the government has to compensate for any property they take. And it's paraphrasing the Fifth Amendment, but you take property, you have to compensate the property owner for it. And they didn't either of those. And the order was for them to take cattle outside of any kind of federal, any kind of due process, without the ability of a rancher or the property owner actually standing in front of a judge in the court to plead the case and having their time in court, so to speak. And I explained to them that outside of a court order, that they would not be able to seize any cattle whatsoever, or they would not be able to take any property off the ranch. At one meeting I had with BLM, Representative BLM, they told me that they were going to seize cattle. And at that time I said, well, you can do whatever you want, except you're not going to be able to take the cattle off the, you know, if you're looking to seize cattle, I said, it's not going to happen. And we're not going to pound any cattle on your behalf outside of the fact maybe. What we can do is, if you have a lawful order, we can hold the cat. We're not going to have the cattle removed off the property. We'll impound them on the ranch. And as I said, I'll make sure that I tell the ranch, the owner of the ranch, to make sure this cattle stays on the ranch. And at that time, if he disobeys my request, and we'll deal with that on a local level. But as far as I'm concerned, that no cows are going to be removed from anyone's property without a court order. And since that time, they've never produced a court order as far as any type of a seizure. And after that meeting, the 2004 meeting, things kind of quieted down with BLM. We were able to work things out, and we came to an understanding if they were going to go on to the allotted lands, Hage's allotted lands, or any ranches allotted lands up in northern Nye County where these ranches are, that they would contact us, and then we'd escort them around on the ranches, make sure there would be no incidents, that the BLM Rangers would stay within what their authority, which is to count the head of cattle.
Now here we have evidence of this sheriff protecting property
for garbage for his garbage area. He actually has a dump there on the ranch. And they were going to cite him for dumping garbage in this dump that he was allowed to have. And in fact, I actually contacted Wayne Hage when it came to my attention. They would issue a citation. And I asked Wayne Hage, I said, where's this dump you're talking about? He says, no, that dump's been there since 1860s. So I contacted BLM and I said to the ranger, I said, let me ask you a question. This dump has been there since 1860. I know that BLM is a little slow, and I know the government is a little slow about, you know, taking some type of appropriate action, but I said over 130 years is a little ridiculous. You know, just give you a short, synopsis of what happened. Following Wayne Hage's death and the death of his second wife, and I explained, in 1991, when Wayne Hage's property was seized by the federal government, he filed a case against the federal government. In 1996, the stress and strain that Wayne Hage believed, the stress and strain of his battle with the federal government, took the life of his wife. His wife, Jean, got very sick, and she died in 1996. Sometime after he married Helen Jenneth Hage, she was a congresswoman for Idaho, and they got married. And shortly after,
we'll be right back.
Wayne Hage died
after a few words from our sponsors.
Well. She died in a car accident
with this sheriff of Nye County,
Wayne and Helen Hage and Gene Hage. The federal judge rendered a decision in the case.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back. Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast. Folks, I've been all over the southern and western states talking to different folks like Chris Ann Hall and Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Palmer and many of these folks who are of like mind, who are awakening, if not already awakened. They are awakening to this pervasive threat on the western lands, on lands all across the country, really, but here we're seeing it play out because of such vast amounts of land that the federal government believes that it owns, not the people. They've far exceeded their constitutional parameters under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. We've pretty much dug into that. I know it's been a year that I've been away, but we're going to get into that more in coming in the future. We're going to have Ammon and Ryan Bundy join us in the coming weeks. They're really wrapped up with the trial, but you know, I've reached out and spoken to Ryan, and he's very confident in their stand in court. He's been very powerful in his stand. One of the sheriffs that was vocally supportive of at least the premise by which the protesters, all of us in Oregon, stood for. And that is, you know, this Sheriff Palmer was under absolute
progressive attack. He is not happy about the United Nations involvement in his county. He has seen both the policies of progressives of all varieties just destroy the livelihoods of the people in his county. It's among the highest unemployment now, and it used to be one of the most prosperous counties in the state of Oregon. Well, I want you to hear a clip from Sheriff Glenn Palmer when he was elected Sheriff of the Year. Please roll that clip.
Looks a lot different from up here. Could I get everybody? I'm going to check the microphone here and get used to this. Could I get everybody to stand up, please? Stand up for me. All right, just look around the room a little bit. All right, go ahead and be seated. And I want you to really think about why I had you stand. I said, see, when I go to church on Sunday, I'm up and down. Our pastor's like, please stand, please sit down, please stand. And I just wanted to look, see what it looked like from up here. So now I know I don't want to be a preacher. So I want to thank everybody for coming to Las Vegas to partake in this historic occasion. And I want to correct one thing that Max said. I'm not fighting with the federal government. In my opinion, I'm defending the people that I serve. Oh boy, why I got to where I'm at today. I've been a police officer for about 27, 28 years. And over the last 15 to 20 years, I've seen an increase in actions on behalf of the federal government, mainly the Forest Service, and some from the Bureau of Land Management, where our access to our public lands has been severely restricted. And this little thing in the back of my mind that just keeps ticking. And you see, more and more restrictions from our public lands. The county that I'm from in Grant County is about mid-central eastern Oregon. We're about 135 miles from the Idaho border and about the same from Walla Walla, Washington. My county is 5,000 square miles. We have about 7,000 residents, except during hunting season, there's well over 10 or 15,000. Our economy is public land driven. We rely on the timber and the cattle industry. We used to. Our county lowest point is about 1,200 feet above sea level, and it goes to about 8,000 or 9,000 feet in the Strawberry Mountain Wilderness. And our county is comprised of about 65% federal lands on the Forest Service side and about another 15 to 18%, and I'm kind of guessing here, on the BLM lands. And just to kind of go to give you an idea of what we have and what we're saddled with is when you have your cattle, your timber, your mining, your recreation, all of that ties back to what you're going to do with your government, how your schools run, how your city and county governments run, and it drives your economy. Grant County, Oregon shares the highest unemployment oftentimes with Harney County, which is my neighbor to the south of me.
We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect the Republic on RBN.
Nature's way of telling you, dying trees.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh,
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
The highest unemployed county in the state right now is Crook County, which is just to the east of me, and I have a little bit of Crook County touches down in the southeast corner of my county. We have had some real hard, tough economic times, and you can just tie it back to what's going on our public lands. What really got me to thinking back in 2009 was I had about 8 or 9 people come to me and complain. And I didn't go seek out these people. They came to me. And at times they had Forest Service police officers pointing guns at them. It seemed like every car stop was at gunpoint. And they were over basic wood permits or what they call road closure violations. I'm going to go back just a little bit. And over the last 15 to 20 years, the Forest Service started closing roads. And it slowly and slowly and slowly until they're almost all shut off. I had a retired district ranger come to me, and a district ranger in the Forest Service is like the second in command at the local level. I didn't go look him up. He came to me after I kind of stirred the pot here, and he told me, he says, these road closures that the Forest Service is conducting are illegal. They don't have a basis and a purpose. And us as law enforcement officers, try and close a county road, try and close a state highway, and try and close a federal highway. You can't do it. We don't have the authority to just blatantly shut off the public from their land. From what we've heard earlier today, you can pretty much come to a consensus that this country's come to a huge mistrust from our federal government. Like I've said, the economics and hardships placed upon our citizens have become overbearing. Through my office as sheriff, we've seen a lot more foreclosures and repossessions of private property. We've had evictions, small claims go through the roof where we serve papers on the citizens in our county. These people are having a difficult time in providing basic needs for their families, and we've also had an elevated rate in suicides. And you can tie it all back to the economy. Early on in my career as a police officer, I was taught that there were three branches of government, which are the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branch. In the last 50 years or so, there's been a disturbing growth of a fourth arm in our government, and that's the bureaucratic branch. This branch of our government has become huge and unaccountable to anyone. It is unelected, and honestly, it is and should be alarming to each and every one of us. One needs to be reminded that our country was founded and based upon a Republican form of government. A basic summary to this, and Mr. Badnarik probably touched on quite a bit of this, so I'm going to go through it rather quickly, but the Constitution is a contract between the several states and had been intended to limit, prohibit, and restrict our central or federal government. This document had never been intended to empower the federal government, and the framers of that document knew this from experience. A Republican form of government was designed and intended to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. This form of government establishes a hierarchy intended to be governed at the most local level and closest to the people. And what I say by this, folks, is when you have school boards, city councils, fire districts, all of those that are elected by our people within our areas, that is where the power remains, and it's with the people who empower those people to govern our lives, not from the top down. This would give the people that elect their leaders, the people that I, as a sheriff, I would protect their best interest and have them first and serve them first. I often see an overbearing federal government enacting rules and regulations that serve no one but a democratic form of government. Laws, rules, and regulations drafted, passed, and enforced by agencies that have no constitutional authority to do so. There are a lot of things going on within my county that are decided right at the local level. There are policies, there's rules, and there's regulations that don't go through any kind of a legislative process other than somebody signing a piece of paper that we're going to enforce this and enact this today. And it's costing our people their jobs, their livelihoods, and it's killing our communities. We need to get back to the basics and start. And a good start would be to educate the people that the creation of our Constitution and nation was to form a government that the people to be governed could be controlled. To that end, their first concern was to limit the authority of the government and the rule it was to have over our lives. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 gave very explicit power to the federal government. Congress and courts have unquestionably used portions of our Constitution to interpret and expand the authority of the federal government, far beyond what I believe the framers had in mind. The framers feared a government that ruled the people and that the people had cause to fear. You tell me if their fears have a foundation in today's society. Look at our gun sales in this country. I am about as pro-Second Amendment as anybody can be. When you have people going out and buying and hoarding ammunition and gunpowder and firearms, that shows me there's a huge distrust between our government and the people that our government should be serving. I'd like to share just a little bit on our oath of office. And I had you stand a little bit earlier. And I'd just like to ask you to take a stand and examine when you took your oath of office, where were you at mentally and what it means to you right here inside. I've pretty much started doing what I'm doing on my own. I've never had anybody come to me and prod me. I just got to the point where I was tired of seeing our economy and our communities turn into ghost towns and the public lands being shut off for no reason at all. And I think as sheriffs or police officers, we have a duty and an obligation to serve the people that put us in office first. I'd like to close and step down and give somebody else an opportunity to get up here and share what they stand for and what they believe in. But I just want to thank Richard Mack for spearheading this. And there's a lot of other people behind Mr. Mack and what he's done and what he's stepped up to do to get us all here in Las Vegas. And I just want you to guys and gals to let you know I appreciate everybody coming here. So thank you.
That was Sheriff Glenn Palmer, Grant County, Oregon. Now, keep in mind, folks, for those of you who still may not know, that is where Lavoie Finicum and Ammon Bundy and Ryan Bundy and Ryan Payne and the rest, Shauna Cox, that's where they were headed. They were headed to meet with a sheriff. Arrest warrants had not been issued for them. They weren't issued until the following morning. The following morning. This traffic stop that was alleged to be a traffic stop was no such thing. It was an ambush. That's what it was. That's the only thing that you could call it. It was a military-style ambush. And it was effected without warrants. I want people to really think about that one fact. Along with that fact is that Lavoie's truck was fired upon by snipers, FBI, who lied, and who, I guess through the pressure of the coming wave that they knew was coming, they figured they needed to do something, and they were duly indicted. I don't know where the disposition is of that. I've been away for a little while. And I'm not sharing all this information with you tonight because I don't want you to hear what I have to say. But I want you to hear what these men have to say, because they have, in many ways, they're almost there. Many people that listen to RBN have a much deeper understanding of the roots and evils and the origins. Eric illustrates this. My Lori illustrates this. Lori Anderson illustrates this. Chris Cave illustrates this repeatedly, and they are not incorrect. But a lot of these folks that are tuning in, some of you I know that are tuning in for maybe even the first time tonight, they call us anti-government. We were guaranteed a Republican form of government that we have been, it's been overthrown. And the only way that we can take back what is rightfully ours is to stand and, in knowledge, stand for yourself, learn, and get behind people who are willing and have the authority. They have the votes from their local communities, and stand behind them and back them. Don't walk away. Now, Lori, I know that there was a clip that you wanted to share, and that has a little bit of a background story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to share that?
Sure. Sheriff Denny Payman of Jackson County, Kentucky, he's also a CSPOA individual, and he was going after the corruption in the county. There was found to be money that was missing and such a thing like that, and he took a stand. And when he did, he started arresting individuals that were part of the judicial. And what happened was, of course, it ended up backfiring. He ended up getting targeted because of taking this stand. But I wanted everyone to realize about the strong stand, and instead of going in massive detail, because I wanted to share about him, and I wanted to share about one other gentleman that many people probably have never heard of. So Denny Payman is no longer sheriff because of the political things that were going on. But after he took that stand, the pressure, of course, was put on to get him out of office. And this happens time and time and time again with the sheriffs who are standing for individuals' rights and standing for their community. And Sheriff Denny Payman was one of them. Mike, if you could, go ahead and play that clip.
Sheriff Denny Payman. Danny Payman, that's LV3.
A Kentucky sheriff hauled his county's top official to jail this morning. The Jackson County sheriff made the arrest during a fiscal court meeting. Minutes after handcuffing William Smith, he arrested County Treasurer Beth Salee, too. As WKYT's Phil Pendleton explains, the sheriff says the arrests are the beginning of something much bigger for his small community.
Jackson County Sheriff Denny Payman says he's found evidence of wrongdoing going back decades. But on Tuesday, Judge Executive William O. Smith and Treasurer Beth Salee were arrested in what Payman calls just the tip of the iceberg.
People have not been able to go to a physical court meeting and basically sit in without being bullied out, without being able, you know, thrown out of meetings.
Payman says the arrests follow an audit of the year ending June 30th, 2011, and he says it deals with unaccounted for money.
What it appears to, and what are the things I'm coming back with now, is the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
I have no idea what's going on.
Neither Smith nor Salee had any comment. Both were loaded into Payman's Mustang, which he says is the only vehicle the fiscal court has allocated for him to drive.
They came in and they stripped my budget, which took everything away from me, but they left me with this Mustang because they actually couldn't take that because of forfeiture.
The arrests of these officials did not sit well with some, and some did not like the fact that we were here to cover it.
If this gets on the news, you're hurt. Now get away from me. Get away from me.
Others welcomed the arrests with open arms.
I think Jackson County is now a free county. I think we've been under some kind of dictatorship for several years now.
Both face a total of 6 charges, including abuse of public trust and engaging in organized crime. In Jackson County, Phil Pendleton, WKYT.
The sheriff tells us he's been in communication with the FBI, the Kentucky Attorney General, and U.S. Attorney. He says more arrests and more information about the allegations are coming.
Now, after that happened, of course, the lead prosecutor, the prosecuting attorney, dismissed those charges. Go figure, right? So, another gentleman.
They should have been presented. They should have been presented to the grand jury, and that should have been the grand jury's decision.
Yes, correct. And so, Sheriff Scott Landon. If you don't recognize the name, let me tell you a little bit about his history. Speaking of protecting private property, the land owned by Kent Carter, who was out of New Mexico, he was battling the IRS for decades over taxes on the earnings of his small construction business and was scheduled for auction February the 19th, and this was in 2015. But the Eddy County Sheriff, Scott London, notified the IRS that the sale had been canceled, according to Ben Swan. One court document listed Carter's debt as $145,000, but he contended the figure was pulled out of thin air by an assessing agent. Carter stated that his bill increased a few hundred dollars every time he challenged the IRS. He contended the IRS violated its own tax code and used improper accounting methods and unlawfully gave no notice of deficiency. So the matter came to a head about 10 days before Christmas when the U.S. Marshals broke in the door of Carter's rental property with their guns drawn, and the only person inside was a young mother and a new baby who was by herself while her husband was working. Jones reported Sheriff London was called to Carter's property to intervene. The sheriff advised the marshals that Carter's case was in appeal and that he deserved due process. The marshals threatened to arrest Sheriff London. Jones reported, but he stood his ground and they backed off. Quote, Many officers have stood up over the years for the rights of citizens being victimized by the federal government, unquote, said Sheriff Richard Mack, founder of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. But Sheriff London is the first one to stand up to the IRS since the early 1990s. His actions show courage and humility. London is setting a good example for the rest of our sheriffs. Carter claims his private and confidential information, including his social security number, was filed in public records and given to third parties. And a judge, however, concurred with the IRS that the agency can publish and disperse the private information of Americans if it is trying to collect their money or property. Carter says, according to BenSwan.com, the IRS claimed that he owed $890,000, a figure that doubled with the stroke of a pen. The original case concerning Carter's business taxes was decided in favor of the IRS by the U.S. District Judge Robert Brock. Carter then filed for an appeal of Brock's decision in both the U.S. District Court in Las Cruz, New Mexico, and the U.S. Appellate Court in Denver. So the attorney and constitutional expert, Chris Ann Hall, had been advising London on his constitutional response to the IRS. Sheriff London asked me if he was on solid legal ground to refuse to allow the IRS auction Carter's property, she said in an interview with WND. The legal dispute with the IRS is over unpaid business taxes, not income taxes. Mr. Carter is currently involved in appeals, but the IRS is trying to seize his property before due process has run its course. Hall advised London that he was correct in his understanding that the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and Section 18 of the New Mexico Constitution both guarantee the right to due process. Quote, I discussed with Sheriff London the supremacy of the sheriff over the federal government based upon his oath of office, she said. This is a premise supported by the founders and the Supreme Court in Mack v. Prince versus United States. She reaffirmed London was on solid ground based on his oath to support and defend the constitutions of the United States and of New Mexico. London received a call February the 6th from the chief law enforcement agent for the undersecretary of the Department of Treasury, advising London with veiled threats that he would be arrested if he continued interfering on behalf of Carter. The agent insisted Carter's case was over, the appeals court had denied the appeal, and that London had no ground to deny the sale. London confirmed that the appeal is pending and informed the agent that he would not allow the sale to take place as long as Clark had not exhausted his right to due process. Judge Brock is refusing to recognize that Mr. Carter has filed these appeals, Hall wrote on her website, and is aiding the IRS in denying Mr. Carter his right to due process. Hall said that Brock and the IRS are relying on technicality to steal Mr. Carter's land. Mr. Carter filed his appeal in a timely manner. However, as a pro se litigant, he was not aware that he had to file a document to stay the judge's order to prevent the taking of his land prior to the conclusion of his appeal. A pro se litigant is someone who is representing himself without professional legal counsel. Quote, legally speaking, this motion to stay the judgment is a formality and is practically guaranteed to be granted pending an appeal, said Hall. Judge Brack knows Mr. Carter is a pro se litigant, knows that Mr. Carter filed an appeal, and also knows that the motion to stay the judgment pending the appeal would be granted, Hall said. But Judge Brock and the IRS do not care and are going to steal Mr. Carter's land in spite of the fact that Mr. Carter is still engaged in his right to due process. Hall said the government agents are using a form over function approach to legalize theft. Sheriff London has decided to honor his oath and force the IRS to follow the Constitution. Ben Swan reported that the Taxation and Revenue Department ordered Carter to cease engaging in business in New Mexico until the arbitrary tax debt was paid. Carter appealed the injunction, arguing it's both unconstitutional and vague. He contended it deprived him of his right to make a living and barred him from carrying on or causing to be carried on any activity with the purpose of direct or indirect benefit. The IRS fabricates evidence against citizens by pulling numbers out of a hat and then adding fees, wrote Sheriff Matt. They wear people down emotionally and financially until they can't take it anymore. No citizen should ever have to fight the IRS for decades in order to keep his land. Carter declared the IRS is a lie. Income tax is a lie. Why should they be able to take anything? They're worse than the mafia. Carter voluntarily vacated his property and relocated his mobile home to an undisclosed location. I chose to leave to keep it from escalating to something ugly like Ruby Ridge, Idaho, he said. Carter said he advised the marshals and the IRS agents who publicly claimed that he had armed friends on his land, quote, if there is going to be any violence, it is going to be you who starts it. Paul wrote, short of physical resistance, due process, and community oversight, a jury of your peers was intended to be some of the greatest protections against government threat against property. So important was to be the protection of due process that it is placed multiple times in our Bill of Rights. In a letter to the IRS against Agent Darlene Jones on February the 5th, Sheriff London reiterated that Carter had not exhausted or waived his due process. Thus, I am notifying you that under compulsion of my oath to the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of New Mexico, I shall not allow the sales of these three properties on February 19, 2015, he wrote. And I want to thank that gentleman. Many people probably don't even know about that sheriff refusing to allow that forced quote-unquote sheriff sale of that man's private property, of his home, his business.
Oh, yeah, there's good reason that they put that in the hands of the sheriff years ago, and this is what they've done to our sheriffs, county sheriffs across this land over the course of the decades, has been to try and remove their authority by mind control and making them believe that this federal government has more authority than they do. Many sheriffs have fallen for this ruse. Many of them think that if the federal government comes in and says it, well, that's the federal government. They're bigger than I am. They're not bigger than you are when you're in your county. And this is one layer to the truth. This goes much deeper. We could dig deeper into the IRS, who the IRS works for, who's the Federal Reserve, who the Federal Reserve is owned by, international bankers. It goes to an unconstitutional, monstrous organization that was created in 1913. The bankruptcy that occurred in 1933, and consent to contract with these animals. Stop consenting to contract with these animals. We'll be back in the second hour. Resurrect the Republic. Derek, Freedom Screamer, and Lori Anderson, Tom Lacabara Stewart, Chris Cave. We'll be back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.